So the Lord, speaking through the prophet Isaiah, says, "My word shall not return to me void, but shall do my will, achieving the end for which I sent it." The word of God has an effect in the world. When God says, "Let there be light," the darkness listens and there's light. Or when Christ says, "This is my body," the bread listens and becomes his body. Or when Christ is on the boat in the storm and he says, "Be still," the storm listens and it's calmed. And all of those things happen, in a certain sense, no matter what. Because like St. Paul said, all of creation is groaning and waiting for redemption. So the created world is waiting for the chance to obey the word of God. It wants to obey. The word of God has an effect in the world. And when God speaks, it's meant to have an effect in our hearts too. But we have a more involved role than the rest of creation does. Because the waves or the darkness or the bread always want to obey, but we don't always want to obey. And so we have more of a choice than the rest of creation does. And that role, that choice that we have, that's why Jesus can speak about the different types of soil in the parable. He can speak about different types of soil because different hearts respond differently to his word. And so the point of the parable is that we want our hearts to be good soil so that when God speaks, we can receive him and bear fruit. And so that's the thing. God wants to speak to us, and so we need to be ready to receive him when he does. And so a part of that readiness is recognizing the very fact that God does, in fact, want to speak to us, that God does want to speak to me. And so I should watch for that and wait for that. And a lot of times we get misled because we think, okay, well, maybe God wants to speak to me once in a while, and it will be big and apparent and dramatic, and I will know. But really, that's not how God wants to speak, because he wants to speak to us way more often. And if he only did it in big ways, we would get really tired of hearing from him so often, if there was a storm and a cloud and fire every single time. So instead, he speaks to us in quiet ways, and very often, it's just by a phrase or a word or something sticking out to us and catching our attention. And if we're not recognizing God wants to speak, we'll just notice that and move on. But if we know God's wanting to speak to us, we'll see that and we'll say, ah, that's the Lord speaking. And so that could be in scripture, whether we're reading on our own or here at Mass, listening to it proclaimed. That could be in the prayers that we pray or that the priest prays at Mass. It could be the preaching that we hear. It could be the conversations we have with those around us. All of those are places where the Lord can speak to us, can send us something to stick out. So we want to have a heart that is listening, that's waiting for something to stand out, that's waiting for the word of the Lord, recognizing that God wants to say something to me, which means that we can't come to Mass to be the judge of how well the lectors are reading these days, or we can't come to Mass to be the evaluator of the homilies, or we can't come to Mass trying to decide how well the choir's doing or the server's doing, but we have to come waiting for the Lord to speak. Because when we come as the homily critic, or when we come as the judge of the lectors or the choir or the servers, instead of coming to seek contact with God, we're turning worship into a hobby that can be well done or poorly done. And the danger of that is that hobbies are very easy to drop. So we can't afford to risk turning Mass into something like that. So we have to recognize that God wants to speak to us and be listening. That's the first part. But that in itself, while it's indispensable, isn't really enough because there has to be a second part too. So I have to be listening, but to be good soil, I have to be open. you have to be open. So another way of saying it is that because he loves me, God wants to speak to me. Because God loves you, God wants to speak to you. That God wants to speak to me 95% of the time about my own heart and my own soul, my own conversion. And so when I'm listening attentively, waiting to hear what God has to say, and I'm always thinking about what he's telling those people, then I cut myself off from hearing him. Because he doesn't really want to talk to me about those people. He wants to talk to me about me. And so if I'm listening to a homily and I'm always thinking like, wow, those conservatives need to hear this, or those liberals need to hear this, or my family needs to hear this, or my enemies need to hear this, or my friend needs to hear this, or the president needs to hear this, or those Democrats need to hear this, or those Republicans, whatever. If we're always putting God's word to other people, we're missing the point. He'll tell them himself. He wants to talk to us about us, to you about you, to me about me. God can tell all of those other people himself. And when we fall into that trap of listening to scripture or listening to preaching or listening to the prayers and thinking about how they apply to other people's lives, that's actually dangerous. Because if I do that, I cut myself off from conversion. I run the risk of becoming like those that Isaiah prophesies when he says, they have closed their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and be converted. My heart needs to be converted. Your heart needs to be converted. And we can't afford to avoid that by deflecting God's word onto other people. And so today, maybe it's just an invitation to look at our own hearts and see if there's any habits or attitudes or assumptions that we've picked up without even realizing it. And if we see them, not to be harsh, but just to make the choice, okay, I don't want this anymore. I'm going to start again in a new way. So maybe I've picked up the assumption that God only speaks rarely, or he only speaks in dramatic, extraordinary ways. And if I've picked up that assumption, then the thing I need to do is to recognize that he's constantly seeking to speak to my heart. And I want to be watching for that to happen, expecting it to happen. Or maybe I've slipped into being the theater critic when I come to Mass. And I'm constantly evaluating how all of these different roles are being executed, whether I think it's good or bad. And if I've slipped into that, then I need to recognize that's a place of conversion, that, you know, I really don't come to Mass to be entertained or to evaluate the show, but I come to be in contact with the living God so that my heart can be converted. Or maybe I've slipped into the trap of deflecting God's word away from my own heart and onto other people. In which case, I need to come back and recognize that, no, actually, in the vast, vast, vast majority of cases, God wants to deal with my heart, not to tell me about what other people need to hear. And so any of those things would be a great resolution to say, okay, I'm going to step back from this and open my heart in a new way so that I can be good soil for the Lord's word when it comes to me. Because in the end, all we want is for Jesus to say to us what he said to his apostles in the gospel. We want Jesus to say to us, blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear.